Luke 1:39-56. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home.
Please sit down, and can I add my welcome to Ed's? My name's Kev. I'm the vicar of the church. It's so, so good to see you. We're thrilled that you've come to join us this evening as part of our Christmas celebrations. I wonder if you've seen this advert that's been on this year. Sweet, isn't it? This carol service was brought to you by Amazon. But it's very 2022, isn't it? You don't feel you need to have to spend loads. Make a present instead. You still have to buy the paper shredder off Amazon, but don't let that spoil the magic. Joy is made. And it's actually not a bad strapline for those readings we had, because God is on the move here at the beginning of Luke's gospel, making babies, making joy. Mary's just been told that her relative Elizabeth is also pregnant. Elizabeth was older. She was thought not to be able to have children, so Mary enthusiastically bounds off to see her. And it's joyful greetings from the moment Mary shows up in sentence 40. You can imagine the scene. "You're pregnant, Elizabeth." "Ah! You're pregnant too, Mary." "Ah!" And even the baby inside Elizabeth's womb in verse 41, it says, leapt in her womb. "Ah!" It's excitement all the way. And Mary's so joyful, she burst into song. Verse 46, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices." Do you embrace the joy at this time of year? Or maybe you're the family Grinch, I don't know. Plenty of reasons why it might be difficult to feel joy. Mary's song is here to help us see that whatever is going on in the world, however rough a year you've had, and I'm sorry if it's been a really tough one personally, joy is made, and joy is offered in the true meaning of Christmas. For those who embrace it, it's a deep and meaningful joy that nothing in this world can snatch away. Do you want some of the joy? The most popular Christmas song ever by a female artist is not by Taylor Swift or Adele. Mary's song, known as the Magnificat, as it says there, has been on the playlist in every tradition of the Christian church for centuries. And here it functions as a pause to underline what's going on in Luke's historical researched narrative. And more than that, it's to make us feel the appropriate mood. Verse 46 again, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Why rejoicing, Mary? It's not just the festive spirit. Verse 48, "For he's looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. I love how unassuming Mary is there. Little old me, that I should be picked to be the mother of the Lord. And the point is not, well done, Mary. Everything we know about her makes her status low in their culture. She was young, a woman from a backwater town of humble estate, as she puts it. But little old Mary has a great big God who is lifting her up high above her station. This picture is a piece called the Dalit Madonna. Dalit is the name currently for a caste of Indian people who were previously known as the Untouchables. Dalit women are among the most oppressed in the world because they're poor and women and Dalit. When that was produced back in 2000, it was controversial, even shocking to some at the time. A Dalit Mary? God wouldn't choose such a lowly woman for such an exalted role. Do you know, actually, that captures something that a whole bunch of religious art has totally missed for 2,000 years. It's precisely typical of the way God would work, that he would choose such a one. Lots of confusion about Mary in the world of religion. She's sometimes overemphasized in the Catholic tradition, but as a reaction to that, sometimes neglected in Protestant Christianity. If you want to properly honor Mary, then listen to her, because she's our teacher here. She says that the great things God has done for her are actually just a microcosm of his mighty acts of blessing through history. Verse 50, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. This is bigger than Mary's story. And notice how almost every line begins, he has his mercy, he has. We're not the center of the universe, guys. None of us is. He is. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. You know, there was a mother called Hannah in the Old Testament who sang a similar song to this. Mary is actually quite lucky that she's not in an Ed Sheeran-style copyright lawsuit, because she's cut and pasted a whole bunch of her lyrics. But that's actually the point. Yeah, Mary's song has loads of beats and echoes from the Old Testament. Because here in the birth of Jesus, she can see that the fingerprints of the God of old are working in the way he worked of old, now on the move, fulfilling his promises of old. I'd love you to read on in this gospel, that gospel you've been flicking through. That's yours. Please take it home with you. You'd see Jesus jumping off the page. We could tick off the things from this reading. The mercy bringer, mighty power against enemies, giving hope to the hungry. All the things described here, tick, 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 because that's the kind of God he is. Always has been. His mercy is for those who fear him in any generation. Isn't that joyful news? You will really only think it is joyful if, like Mary, you see yourself rightly. So are you lowly this Christmas in need of help? Or are you well, strong? Take that question at the broadest level. So include your material situation, but also your status, achievements more generally. How are you doing? You know, Jesus says later in Luke that it's hard for people who are doing well in life to enter the kingdom of God. And that's because of the problem identified right here in the middle of Mary's song. Do you see it in sentence 51? Heart of the human problem. Never was the Roman occupiers of Jesus' day or the multiple crisis of ours. The heart of the human problem has always been the problem of the human heart. Proud in the thoughts of their heart. Again, read on. You see Jesus come up against this again and again. People proud of their religiousness, proud of their success. We might add proud of their values, whether national values, progressive values, family values. Proud. And therefore not able to rejoice about Jesus arriving. Because who needs God to make joy for me. I'll be my own savior. You know, if we're honest, you don't actually have to have achieved very much or be a CEO to have a heart like that. And the tragedy of proud hearts is actually that they have way too narrow a vision of what is worth being proud of. It's a little bit like the child on Christmas morning. You know, they're so taken with the wrapping paper that they miss the brilliant present that's inside. My kids, sadly, are growing out of the toddler phase, but it was one of the great things of having toddlers in the house. You could wrap up any old item from around the place, a brick, you know, seriously, and they would just be taken with the wrapping paper. I know some of you are looking like, well, yeah, what kind of dad are you? Yeah, sorry, this is seriously cheapskate stuff over here. I didn't even have to buy the paper shredder from Amazon. It's proper Scottish stinginess, I'm afraid. But a proud heart is like saying, I've achieved all this wrapping paper with your accomplishments or ethics, your religious profile. And the real present Jesus wants to give you is a pure heart and eternal life. Now, I don't want to underestimate that some of us have achieved significant things as decent people who care about important causes. But we're all impoverished when it comes to the ugly thoughts of our hearts. I mean, do you have them in there? I'm embarrassed about mine. Some of them proud thoughts, others just, well, thoughts that are all about me. Can you change in your own strength? You certainly can't buy yourself forever life, no matter how much joy you can make or buy for yourself. And the message of the Christian Christmas is that, totally undeserved by you, Jesus has dived down to exalt us up way above our station. Those good things of verse 53 are not prosperity now being promised. This is about promises God began making way back in Abraham's day, to know our Maker, to be blessed by him forever in a new creation. We have the first tasters of all of this in the coming of Jesus. But these are promises of good things way beyond our very limited ambitions for our present lives. Of course, the better you think you're doing now yourself, materially or morally, the harder it will be to feel this to be a joy. Americans do everything bigger and better on Christmas than us Brits, don't they? Including starting it earlier. So last Thursday of November is Thanksgiving. And in the year he introduced that annual holiday, President Lincoln said this: "We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we've forgotten God. We've forgotten the gracious hand which strengthened us, and we've vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we've become too self-sufficient, too proud to pray to the God that made us." That's very insightful. Always has been that way. Pride leads people away from thinking they need God. Pride in my own decency leads me away from thinking I need Jesus to help my heart. And the warning here in verse 51 is pride is the path to destruction. If you trust yourself, you won't be humbled by God in the end. You want God to scatter you in judgment or lift you up into good things that you could never achieve on your own. How are you doing? Anxious, maybe? Insecure? Guilty? Needy? Those are places God can work from. And if I'm a Christian here who stopped knowing the joy, there'd be lots of reasons why that might be the case. Joy is made, well, it's made in all kinds of different ways, isn't it? And yeah, a giant snow globe would be quite a fun thing to get for Christmas. But I need to not forget that the world's joys are fragile. They're fading compared to the good things he has lifted me up into. He really wants good things for you, you know. Mary's not someone to pray to. Honor her by following her example. She's got no sense of entitlement, total humility in her seeing the need for help and trusting of the word she's been given about what God will certainly do. And Mary makes it personal. Notice not only the world's savior, my savior, Have you made this personal for you yet? Little old Kev has a great big God. Happy Christmas. And I pray that for each of us, the happiest thing about it might be finding fresh joy as you join in Mary's song. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He who is mighty has done great things for me. Amen.
Let's pray. Christ, born for us, the Word become flesh, help us to know ye, to believe in your name, to receive eternal life. Wonderful Counselor, you order all things with your wisdom. Help your people to reveal your grace and truth to all those who work, study and live here in central London. Mighty God, the government is on your shoulders. Guide our earthly leaders to govern in humility and justice and mindful of their accountability to you. Prince of Peace, you bring reconciliation and healing. Give physical aid and the light of the gospel to all who suffer, particularly remembering those in Ukraine and South Sudan. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High, King forever, hear our prayer, receive our praises, fill our lives this Christmas. Amen.